Well, it remains a hot topic in our country, illegal immigrants, amnesty. What is the Christian position? Is there one?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, obviously, there is a lot of talk right now about the situation in the government, the shutdown of the government in certain ways, issues with Obamacare, the massive conflict with Republicans, Democrats. But we're not going to talk about that today, as important as it is. There's a subject I've been wanting to talk about for quite some time. But because of my lack of expertise in this area, I wanted to bring on a special guest whom I respect to help us sort these issues out. And they remain ever present in the news. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. Tuesday is a day for teaching, theology, apologetics. It's a day also to ask questions about how Scripture applies to life. And there is the specific question of illegal immigrants in America. There is the question of amnesty. There is the question of political motivation behind amnesty. There is the question of immigration reform. And my question to you, I'm going to get your feedback by way of written comments that have already been sent in the last few minutes, and by phone calls at 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to get your feedback on this. Is there, in your view, a Christian position on immigration reform? We're going to do that for the next half hour. Then, the half hour that follows, I'm going to bring on Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, one of the most respected Hispanic Christian leaders in America, a man whom I've heard speak in a couple of different settings, read some of his stuff, and I've got tremendous respect for Reverend Rodriguez. He's going to come on and give his perspective on this. So here's my question to you, and you can be coming from any background whatsoever. In other words, any ethnic background, any political background, but in particular, I want to ask this. Do you believe there is a Christian position, a right and wrong Christian position when it comes to the question of immigration? And this affects millions and millions and millions of people living in our country right now. Is it simply a matter of people have crossed our borders illegally and now they're getting all kinds of benefits from the government? And if you talk to the countries from whence they came, say so many coming from Mexico, talk to Mexican Christian leaders there, they might say, look, they broke the law. They broke our laws as well to get into your country. Of course, they do not belong. Or is there a Christian position that says, this is where we show mercy. This is where we demonstrate the character of Jesus. This is what Scripture talks about. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Or is this a matter of, without the influx of immigrants into our country, the American birth rate is too low. The best thing we can do is incorporate these people into our society as fellow citizens. Some have been here many, many years. Or do we look at criminal records and we use wisdom? Why loose all types of people that may have criminal backgrounds that have infiltrated our country? That happened many years ago with Cubans coming into America. Are some of these Cubans fine citizens today? Or have some of them been part of leading to all types of lawlessness in the country? Is there a Christian view? Do you have a strong position? And hopefully, if you're a follower of Jesus, you think that your position has some scriptural merit. What is it? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I plan to have much deeper convictions at the end of this hour than I do right now through your input, through the input of Reverend Rodriguez. So we come back, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to begin to read some of the comments and hear from you. Is there a right Christian position on immigration reform?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so we're not talking about the budget battles today. We're not talking about government shutdown. We're not talking about who's right, who's wrong, Republicans, Democrats. We're not talking about the president and Obamacare. We are, though, talking about a very hot issue for many months now, and one that will be hot again as we get into the next election season, the ongoing debate about immigration, illegal immigrants, immigration reform, amnesty. 866-348-7884. Remember, tomorrow, my guest, Jonathan Sarfati, he is a brilliant scientist, PhD in chemistry, and a young earth creationist, a very committed young earth creationist. He'll be taking all of your questions. If you're an atheist who believes in Darwinian evolution, if you're an old earth creationist, if you're a young earth creationist, if you're a Christian with questions about these things, Jonathan will be taking your calls. Remember, I'll be in New York, God willing, in Manhattan, ministering this weekend as part of a Chosen People conference on Israel, the land, and the future. Get info by going to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and just clicking on itinerary. 866-34-TRUTH. Just looking at comments that have been coming in, Lee says this: this country was taken from the Indians. California, without a doubt, had a crummy deal given to the Mexicans, and we pushed them further south. People seem to forget that this was not a white man's country. We need to work with these so-called illegals. David said this: I have a couple of questions. Who is it a problem for? Are these, quote, illegal immigrants forcing employers to hire them, work for meager wages? Also, why wasn't Columbus and his bunch considered illegal immigrants when they invaded America? By the way, whose land is it really anyway? Ultimately, I believe there's no such thing as illegal immigrants. Haley says this: when immigrants come illegally, they are breaking the law. That is a problem morally and biblically because we are supposed to obey the laws of the land. Problem is, the immigration laws are so messy and crooked that criminals sneak in and good, hardworking immigrants get thrown out. Reform the laws to keep the criminals out and protect the citizens of the nation. The illegals that are already here, they need to go back to their own country and apply for legal status through work visas or other ways. People should not get special treatment for breaking laws, no matter their intent. Sean: it is clear that some people think the word American and Christian are synonymous. They are not. As Christians, we should never define biblical interpretations through patriotism. We are Christians first and foremost, and our Americanism should be defined by the Bible and not Rush Limbaugh. I am politically conservative, but radically biblical first. Alex, Matthew 25:35: for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Alex, quoting from Leviticus 19, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. You were strangers in the land of Egypt. I'm the Lord your God. Anthony: Scripture commands believers to obey the laws of the land, and we should when those laws do not conflict with Scripture. Christians should uphold our immigration laws, and if they do not like them, uphold them while working to have the law reformed or changed. 866-34-TRUTH. Mark in Lyndhurst, New Jersey, what's your take on the matter?
Yes, this is Brother Mark. God bless you, Dr. Brown. I just found an interesting scripture in Malachi 3:5, and I'm not going to take a stance on immigration, but it seems to say that, according to the Word of God, that the immigrants don't have a right to be here, it seems like, in Malachi 3:5.
All right, let's read that verse, and then you could tell me how you come to that conclusion. All right? Malachi 3:5.
James is the only one that makes it clear.
Okay. Well, let's see what the King James says. I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I'm just looking at the Hebrew, and I know that the text, of course, that's the English is a little old, but that's basically saying things accurately. How would you get from this that immigrants don't have a right to be here?
Well, according to the scripture, God is saying it's bad to turn aside the stranger from his right. So according to our laws in this country, they don't really have the right to be here, you know?
Okay, yeah, that would not be the... Even the King James doesn't mean there. It means... there it's talking about an Israelite stranger or someone that's in the midst, even a foreigner in the midst, that that's turning that foreigner away. You know, the word there, ger, would be a foreigner, but it's turning that foreigner away from proper care or from what would be due them, because if you had these foreigners in the midst of Israel, they were entitled to certain justice in the midst of the people. So I appreciate the thought, and I appreciate you bringing up the verse, but it might actually say the opposite if we rightly understand it. But thank you, Mark, for the call. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Susan says this: immigration law has been arbitrary. Before 1924, there were no illegals, just immigrants. In my opinion, immigrants should be welcome here just as they were prior to 1924. As well, the feds have the power to enforce the law but refuse to do so, putting the illegals out there to inspire the wrath of those who think they belong and others don't. I think immigration laws have to do with eugenics first and foremost, and I think they should be abolished. Just a question to ask: what do you do with the fact that, say, Mexico's laws in terms of immigration are radically stricter than ours, going the other way, for the record? And along with the many, many Mexican immigrants who are working in our country and have been hardworking, raising their families for many, many years, and that poses a major problem in terms of ethically, if they did enter here illegally, but that have been totally absorbed in our society and their kids learned English and they're in our schools and the parents are hardworking. What about all the criminals that come in? What about the fact that Islam is actually working hard in Mexico to win people to radical causes before they come into the States? That exists too. Is there no wisdom in having laws? Do people just flaunt them? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm raising questions here. Obviously, we always want to lean towards mercy whenever possible, but if laws are flaunted, there are consequences. Marvin in Corona in New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. In response to the question, Christians do have a responsibility to uphold the law as long as it doesn't transgress the laws of God. And I heard someone say something about Columbus coming over and when they came and so forth and so on. We didn't have the Constitution then, but we do have constitutional laws now. I think it should be done. Each case should be reviewed on an individual basis. I do believe we have agencies to do that. But people who have been here for so many years, they've been productive citizens and so forth and so on, that I think on an individual basis, their cases should be viewed. And then, of course, righteously judged. But I do not think we should harbor criminals. If you're breaking the law, we do have laws, and the law is to protect those who are not breaking the law, so to speak. I think Christians have a responsibility, but not to uphold or break the law. I think we should follow the law, like I said again, as long as it doesn't transgress the laws of God.
Got it. All right. And then let me ask this. If someone is here, they broke the law to come into the country, but they came out of legitimate financial hardship and need, and they've been hardworking Americans for years, are they still, in your mind, lawbreakers in terms of how they came here?
Are these people paying taxes?
Okay, that would be that's a good question. So if they're not paying taxes, then they are seeping from things, soaking things in, but not giving back adequately. They're breaking the law by not paying taxes.
I believe they are breaking the law by not paying taxes, and they are still to a degree fugitives. And again, if they've been in the country for that long, I mean, you know, I know that they're, what is it called, when somebody murders someone and there's a law that says after a period of time, then they're no longer
right.
Mm-hmm. What is that called again?
We all know it, yeah. And it's right. We all blanked out at the same time.
Just bring my mind right now, yeah. But nevertheless,
Statute of limitations, of course.
Statute of limitations, right?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
If you're a criminal or if you're breaking the law, to whatever degree it may be, then the law should deal with you. Now, if the law knows that you're here and they're kind of harming you, if they're protecting you, then I think it's kind of up to the law to say, hey, look, we protected them this long knowing that they were here. There has to be some sort of amnesty given, but again, on an individual basis, I believe.
Got it. All right. Hey, Marvin, I've got a break coming up, but thank you, sir, for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. I am listening to you. I am getting your feedback, your input. I'm going to continue to do that in the next segment. And then following that, we will talk with Reverend Samuel Rodriguez. Hey, a reminder for all my friends again, listening in D.C., Maryland, Virginia on WAVA FM. You can catch the repeat of this first hour just a few hours from now, or keep listening online. Go to AskDrBrown.org for more info.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I hope you appreciate the fact that there are many areas that I can speak on with deep conviction and based on years or decades of study and reflection. There are things I can speak on. If you push the button and tell me, do you want the 1-minute version, the 1-hour version, the 10-hour version, the 100-hour version? You know what I'm saying? And there are other areas where I just have not, over the years, had a particular burden to focus on certain hot-button issues. Only so many things you can focus on. And therefore, I don't have strong opinions about some major, major issues, including the issue of immigration reform, amnesty. I know the issues involved. I know the political ramifications on a certain level, but I haven't been able to focus on it adequately or speak to enough people involved or Christian leaders involved. Therefore, I haven't brought the subject up. But this is our day to focus on these issues. We're not focusing on Obamacare and government shutdown, as pressing as those things are. We are talking about scriptural positions. Are there scriptural positions to take when it comes to the issue of immigration reform? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Juan in Chicago. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks, Michael Brown. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, can you hear me? Basically, with me, I found out that I was an illegal, you know, older age. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, you need to shut down the radio in the background there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. Basically, my name is Juan. I'm basically a dreamer. I came here through a visa, and I'm one of the illegals myself that was granted deferred action under Obama about 3 months ago. So mm-hmm. I came here through a visa when I was about 5 years old, grew up here, didn't know I was an illegal until I came in age. And basically, before I was granted deferred action, you know, I didn't have no choice. I had to either pick, go back to the country I came from or there, and near choose to work illegally in there. So there were objectives, I'm saying, and the faith compromising my faith, such as lying. And I do believe immigration itself is illegal, but the government should, especially for children that came here, that grew up here, there should be mercy upon them, you know, especially because, as myself, I wasn't shown that. And then Obama, not saying that he's the greatest, he's not the, not saying that he's the a great president or anything like that, but Obama did exercise his authority to show mercy on people on, they came here as kids. And one of the points.
Yeah, and I think that's a major, right. Yeah. I think your situation raises a whole different issue. Children of illegal immigrants who had no idea that that was their status, and you've grown up here like everyone else, and would plan to be involved in the country like everyone else. Now, of course, there are many who are very skeptical of anything Mr. Obama does and attribute political motives to it just to get more potential Democratic votes, because the Hispanic populace tends to vote much more Democratic than Republican. But let's attribute the best motives to it and say that it's the right thing to do for sure. So the question is this, Juan. You're Was it your mom and dad that came over with you, or just one of the family members?
No, my mom would go back and forth. My mom actually got pregnant in the United States, but then she would just went back. I was actually born, I was in Costa Rica, so she was returning from Costa Rica, and her visa expired. And she just let it expire, then that's pretty much
what
happened.
So what has she been a typical American citizen, even if not legally working and paying taxes and functioning in every other way, or has she been under the radar?
She's just been like living with my brother. She's been now she has a work permit. She's getting trying to get the green card through my U.S. citizen brother.
Got it. All right, well, so listen, I think right, Juan. I by all means, I believe cases like yours with children who've been raised in the country, that there should be a way. You know, you've been here all these years. You weren't even aware you were illegal. That's one of the strongest arguments for some type of reform that needs to take place. But I'm glad you've been granted citizenship. And obviously, if there is an issue,
depression.
Okay. Well, that again just exposes my lack of knowing the details. But let me just say this. Obviously, if you ever had to compromise your faith and lie over these things, then you tell the truth, because God can use you in America and God can use you in Costa Rica and God can have a purpose for you in any situation. But hey, Juan, thank you for calling and sharing this. Again, the situations are much more complex than we sometimes realize. 866-348-7884. Let's just hear from one more person who came here as a child, Paloma in Boston. Paloma, where did you come from? What country?
Hi, I came from Brazil, actually.
All right, and how old were you when you came here?
I was almost 5 years old.
All right, and what's your status or your story?
I'm a naturalized citizen. I don't have any problems, and for me, that's something that I thank God for, because I know a lot of people within the Brazilian community who they're not as fortunate, and their parents really live in fear of, you know, maybe one day being pulled over, or maybe just having something silly happen and having be deported or something. And I just would like that more, you know, more of my brothers and sisters in Christ understand this, that, you know, there are a lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of people who are come here, you know, with just from false promises. Sometimes people make false promises to them,
right,
telling them that there's going to be a better job, a better opportunity. And, you know, when they come here, they're maybe living in a one-room apartment with four people. Like, when we first came here, we were living in a one-studio apartment with me and my three other brothers and my mother and my father. So, you know, it's a hard life. It's
right.
A very
you,
hard life.
Right. All right, so the obvious question, hey, Paloma, thanks for sharing that and that human element. I've got to run, so sorry if it appears harsh to just have to jump in. People would say, well, it's hardship. Is it America's obligation to care for all these people? Or is this how America is enriched by opening our borders? Hey, thank you for the call. We are going to hear from Reverend Samuel Rodriguez when we come back, and let's see if we can come to any conclusions or get clear guidelines as to what a Christian position on this really is. Remember, tomorrow, my guest, Dr. Jonathan Sarfati, will be talking about issues of evolution, young earth creation. And I'm holding in my hands his book, Refuting Evolution, over 500,000 copies in print, and goes through point for bird evolution, whale evolution, the links are missing. It's clearly written, but it's backed with a lot of research. You get it, come to your own conclusions. The book plus the CDs of tomorrow's two-hour interview, $20, postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the line of fire today. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you and delighted in a moment to welcome a special guest to the broadcast, Reverend Samuel Rodriguez. I have wanted to get Reverend Rodriguez on the air with me for some time now. And then recently, when I heard of his heart for Israel and burden he has for the Hispanic Church to stand with Israel, I said to my producer, Matt, hey, we've got to connect with Reverend Rodriguez. And I've wanted to talk about the issue of immigration reform, of amnesty, of what is legal and not, what is a Christian position. And there are many, many areas where I have strong views, many, many areas where I could speak for multiplied hours on any number of subjects. And then there are areas that I just do not have expertise in or do not feel I've adequately looked into the issues and know people whom I respect that I feel could help. So for the last half hour, we have gotten your feedback. I've gotten many, many comments of folks weighing in on Facebook. Now, my joy to introduce Reverend Samuel Rodriguez. CNN called him the leader of the Hispanic evangelical movement. Back in 2008, Newsweek magazine listed him as one of 10 top people to look for in that year. He is the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, America's largest Hispanic Christian organization with 40,000 plus member churches. He leads an organization to identify as the Hispanic faith leaders in support of life, family, Great Commission, stewardship, education, justice, and youth. And his bio goes on. Reverend Rodriguez, great to have you on the line of fire. Thanks for joining us today.
Man, I'm honored and blessed to be with you today, my friend. Thank you for having me.
Well, my joy. We were at a couple of meetings together over the years, and I got to hear you share briefly, and I said, well, I like this guy. I like where he's coming from. I get to read some of your columns. But let me just ask you a two-minute question first, and then we'll come back, talk about your input, your insights on the issue of immigration reform. But in a nutshell, how would you say the Evangelical Hispanic Church of America is doing today? What's your finger on the pulse telling you?
It is the fastest growing religious demographic in America. 20% of all Hispanics are born-again Christians, Christ followers. We have approximately 57 million Hispanic Americans. Calculate 20% serving Christ. And every single day, 6.9 out of 10 conversions, 6.9, 7 out of 10 people that come to Christ are of Hispanic descent. What does that mean? The future of American Christianity, the future of American born-again Christianity, may very well lie in the hand of the Hispanic American faith community.
Extraordinary. And in your mind, how much of that ties in with immigrants who are in our country illegally right now?
Without a doubt, there is a bridge, a consequential fact that you can extrapolate from the immigrant community. Immigrants are converting more than any other group. That's why there are nuances to the issue of immigration reform. We can't view them exclusively via the optics of be it a political or a cultural lens. We have to include the kingdom lens. What's going to happen if we deport 11 million people, of which half of them are coming to Christ or have come to Christ in the past 10 years? How does that impact the church? Are we deporting the evangelists and pastors and preachers that may usher in a third awakening?
Got it. All right. When we come back, Reverend Samuel Rodriguez is going to help us navigate through several key issues. What are the questions Christians should be asking about immigration? Are there biblical principles we need to follow? And then if amnesty types of radical reform bring about a massive influx of new voters into the Democratic Party, which means voting with certain other values, how does that affect evangelical Christians? We're going to get some wise answers from Samuel Rodriguez when we come back right here on the Line of Fire.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest, Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, current president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, and one of the most respected leaders nationally in the Hispanic church, and has shared with us just amazing results, amazing facts about the numbers of Hispanics in America coming to faith in Jesus. Reverend Rodriguez, when we look at a political hot-button issue like immigration, and then you have different views that divide Democrats and Republicans and questions about what people's motivations are and going one way or another, we need to step back and say, okay, as Christians, are there issues we need to look at? If so, what are they? And then what is a Christian response to this? So if you could help, in your view, lay out for us, what are the key questions and issues? And then do you think there is one right Christian response to this?
I do. The issue is this. We have approximately 11 million people in America that are undocumented. They came into this nation illegally. That, my friend, is unacceptable. We as a nation have the right, as a sovereign nation, to protect our sovereignty, particularly in the southern border towns where the Mexican narco traffickers are engaged in a de facto civil war. We need to protect our communities, our children, our cities. Therefore, illegal immigration is wrong. We should protect our borders. We should secure our borders. But these 11 million people were granted by the U.S. government, by Uncle Sam, a wink, wink, and a nod. Uncle Sam looked the other way when people that lived in abject poverty came to the United States to serve our restaurants, mow our lawns, work in our hotels. 20 years later, we have an epiphany, you know, 1986, the last amnesty by Reagan. 20 years later, in 2006, when the economy began to sink, all of a sudden, we look around and say, by the way, we know we looked the other way when you came in for the past 20 years. Now we want you all to leave. The problem is that their children were raised in America. Over half of them, their children were born in America. They don't even speak Spanish. This is their nation. They are citizens. So what do? Do we separate the parents from the children? We come to a moral conundrum, a dilemma. And hence the immigration reform debate becomes so complex. All of a sudden, churches throughout America grow via the conduit of this immigrant community. The Southern Baptist, the Assemblies of God, the Church of God, many of the major denominations have experienced significant growth as a result of the immigrant community, documented and undocumented. So what do? Do we empty out our churches? Do we tell these people to go back to their countries and we empty out our churches? Do we separate families? If we are so pro-family, do we separate families, parents, from their children? There must be better way. And I believe the Christian response is we shouldn't feed into the agenda of the donkey or the elephant. We should look at exclusively the agenda of the lamb. What does Jesus say? What does the Bible say? The Bible says, Leviticus 19, treat the stranger amongst you as if he or she would be one of your own. Don't forget, you were once immigrants likewise in Egypt. We need to reconcile that with Romans chapter 13 about adhering to the rule of law. So the middle ground, a biblical response, is reconciling Leviticus 19 with Romans 13. What does that look like in a legislative process or through a public policy presentation? Here it is. One, we look at the 11 million that are currently here. We deport the bad guys. Who are the bad guys, Reverend Rodriguez? Well, anyone involved in narco trafficking, the rapists, the felons, the gangbangers, deport them. Deport them without hesitation. Get rid of them. If they came to this country to engage in nefarious activity, we don't want them here. Deport them immediately. The other 98.9% that are here, that have paid taxes, that are not going to live off welfare, that are not going to live subsidized, that have a job, even though they have it with illegal information, that do have a job, that are working, that have a good moral compass, these individuals, let's grant them a pathway for integration. Let's not put them in the front of the line because that would be immoral. If we put them in the front of the line when people have come here legally, that's not the right thing to do. Let's put them to the back of the line. Let's make them admit they came here illegally. Let's make them pay fines. Let's make them learn the English vernacular because English is the language of America. Let's make them learn English as the official language. Let them learn Civics 101. Let's integrate them. It may take 7, 10, 15 years before they can actually apply for citizenship. Let's grant them a guest worker visa immediately so we can get them out of the shadows. Let's integrate them so they can continue even more to this wonderful thing we call the American experience.
All right. Now, very clearly, you have and articulately and passionately laid out the issue of justice and mercy, laid out from Leviticus 19 and Romans 13, the questions that we're dealing with, and then recognizing that we cannot treat everyone in one fell swoop and say this applies to everyone. So you've got children that have come in, you've got hardworking citizens, which you say that constitutes the vast, vast, vast majority. You've got the bad guys. Now, are you saying then that there are people that came in illegally, and we want to stop that, but actually there are many fine people that will be fine citizens that came in illegally, and that's where we have to have mercy? I mean, where does that line get drawn? Because a lot of us want black and white. We have a problem with mercy and justice together. We go one way or the other way. We go Leviticus 19 here, or we go Romans 13 in the other direction. So just for those that are hearing what could be two messages, someone came here illegally 15 years ago, but they're not drug dealers, they're not violent people, they're working hard, they're part of the system, they're raising their kids, speaking English. You're saying that that's where we have mercy, even though it started wrong?
That is correct. That's where we'd have mercy, even though it did start wrong. And we can't deny it started wrong. That's where we exhibit mercy, but it's not amnesty. Amnesty is blanket forgiveness. Amnesty is what I experienced via the conduit of Jesus Christ in the cross of Calvary. I received amnesty. I was completely forgiven. When you're required to learn English, pay fines, go to the back of the line, admit guilt, and wait 15 years, that, my friend, is not amnesty.
All right. And listen, I am paying careful attention to you because I've felt conflicted over the issue and had not spent adequate time interacting with people on it and looking at it. So this is something that I'm not just interviewing you, I'm listening to carefully as well. Is it just some conspiratorial paranoia that says that there are people coming into our country with the intent of disrupting our country, that many criminals from Mexico are converting to Islam and coming into our country? Is that just some fear-mongering extremism, or is that represent truth there?
As a Bible-believing, Christ-following son of Abraham Lincoln and Ronald Reagan, from my political optics, I can tell you very well, I will be the first one vehemently opposed to any group coming into this country with values that run counter to our Judeo-Christian value system, or that have an agenda of undermining our political, cultural, or spiritual DNA or ethos. Without a doubt. I think it is a bit more fear-mongering. I can't deny the fact that there are Mexican Muslims. That can't be denied. But there are, white, bone-red Oklahoma Muslims who are engaged in terrorist activities in Kenya and Somalia. So, yeah, there are those that are converting to Islamic fundamentalism from all different ethnic groups. But the vast majority, Dr. Brown, are coming to Jesus Christ. The vast majority are coming to Christ as Lord. And man, when these immigrants come to Christ, they sell out for Jesus. They become evangelists and pastors and missionaries. And that's where my heart is at. I want to make sure we're not deporting the future of American Christianity.
Mm. And listen, I'm thrilled with every good report that I hear. I personally expect God to do great things in America, even in the midst of all kinds of shaking. And to me, everything I look at has to have some type of gospel base and foundation in terms of decisions that we make. But let me ask this. This is a purely political question, and I rarely get into issues on the air from a political perspective. It's always from a kingdom perspective. But based on your views, are there any political leaders today who are advocating the same position that you feel is a right biblical position?
Yes, Marco Rubio. Senator Marco Rubio is a conservative Republican from the state of Florida and possibly a presidential candidate. And Marco Rubio has articulated, matter of fact, I've met with Senator Rubio. I've been working with his office extensively on this matter. I was with him when he presented with the Senate gang. I was with him in the background. I was right there on his right-hand side in the back. Senator Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, Governor Jeb Bush, again, a conservative Republican, former governor of Florida, very committed and would sign off to everything I just articulated. The former President George W. Bush, I worked with the White House on this matter when President Bush was in the White House. John McCain, and others. In addition to that, there are great... I sat down with the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, Eric Cantor, the majority whip. I met with him, with Robert Goodlatte, with the Republican conference chair about 4 weeks ago. Sat down with them, with four of them, about 4 weeks ago.
Let me just jump in. We got a break. You can tell us about your meeting with these leaders, what they had to say, how much you are in harmony with them. And then I just want to hear about your heart for the Hispanic Church and the people of Israel when we come back right here on The Line of Fire.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today. I think you understand why I have been waiting to get Reverend Rodriguez on the air to discuss these issues with us because of his expertise to look at Scripture, to look at what God is doing in society, to interact with political leaders, and to have a path of wisdom. You know, so many times as believers, we either get worldly wise and we lose biblical perspectives, or we just look at Scripture and we fail to see what God is doing in a generation, or we just look at Scripture and forget that we need to have pragmatic application of that Scripture. So I really deeply appreciate Reverend Rodriguez and the wisdom and experience that he has. So you're meeting with congressional leaders. You mentioned some top names. You can't get any higher in terms of congressional leaders. What did they have to say? How much harmony do you think there is moving forward?
Very transparent conversation. We all agree that deporting 11 million people will never happen. Point of agreement. It's not practical. We don't have the finances. We don't have the infrastructure. We would have to, in essence, create a new police force. We would look like the Gestapo to go into the urban centers house by house. It's just not going to happen. So we either leave them here indefinitely living in the shadows, or we find a solution. I do believe a solution is inevitable. It may take longer than what we initially projected. It may take some time at the beginning of next year because of Obamacare, because of the government shutdown, because of Syria and other matters. So I do believe at the end of the day, we're going to find a solution that's practical, that's fair and balanced. I just call upon every Bible-believing Christian, every pro-life, pro-family Christian, to really rise up, call up their member of Congress and say, we don't want amnesty. We don't want mass deportation. We want a Christian solution that will put these people in the back of the line, make them pay fines, make them learn English, and that will facilitate a platform by which they will stand integrated with this wonderful thing we call the American experience.
And what do you think is necessary to get these Hispanic Christians who are coming to faith to have a biblical worldview, issues of life, issues of marriage?
Go ahead. Dr. Brown, we just issued a study, Dr. Brown, that's exciting, with Barna. And that study affirmed the fact that Hispanic evangelicals are more pro-life than even white evangelicals. How about that? So the community is arguably one of the most pro-life communities in all of the United States of America. I am traveling around the nation telling Hispanics, do not marry the agenda of the donkey or the elephant. Marry the agenda of the lamb. And when you vote the agenda of the lamb, you have to vote pro-life, because the agenda of the lamb begins with life. He came to give us life, and life abundantly. It begins in the womb. Let us be the most staunchest pro-life community in America. Let us defend the family and marriage. Let us protect religious liberty. Let us protect our Judeo-Christian value system. Let's stand up for Israel. There is a rise of anti-Semitism around the world, the emergence of religious totalitarianism and fundamentalism against our Jewish friends and brothers and sisters is morally reprehensible and unacceptable. And this nation, in the past few years, has waffled, to say the best, to say the least, on the issue of Israel. What is Hispanic Americans, the largest ethnic minority in America, stand up in staunch support of Israel? We're going to have a firewall for generations to come.
And is this something that you're finding people resonating with when it comes to Israel. It's one thing to resonate the pro-life message. It's one thing to resonate pro-family, pro-marriage message. Let's not redefine marriage, religious freedoms as well. But many people don't have that connection. They don't understand the spiritual, prophetic, historical significance of Israel. Are you finding that the leaders are getting this? Are they catching it in spirit as well as intellectually?
They are getting it both vertically and horizontally. They're understanding it via the optics of their theological worldview, their Christian worldview, and horizontally from a practical standpoint, they get it. Culturally, they get it. By the way, Dr. Brown, if you attend a Latino evangelical church, you would probably find 9 out of 10 the Israeli flag. You'll find a shofar. You'll find some of the elders praying with Ali, meaning it's pretty interesting how the Hispanic evangelical church has embraced many of the nuances and threads of the Jewish culture and community. So there's a great affinity. Now it's time to transfer that affinity into prophetic activism in support and in defense of Israel.
Well, brother, my heart is obviously deeply joined with you. One of the most memorable meetings I was in Juarez, Mexico, a church of probably about 8,000 members, and they had a tremendous heart and passion for Israel. I was in the midst of working on my series of books on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, and they said, pastor and his son said, we feel we're supposed to pray for special grace and anointing on you to win rabbis to the Lord. And they had some extraordinary worship and celebration that tied in with Israel. And I remember they just said, symbolically, we feel we're to pour water on you. And they drenched me, and then they prayed over me. But it was one of those special, special moments. And yes, even historically, in the Hispanic community, there is a lot of Jewish blood historically because of the history and what happened with Inquisition. And there is that awakening we constantly hear about in Latin America. So I'm thrilled to hear these reports. And if you ever need to blast things out to the nation over the radio, just let us know. It'd be our joy and honor to have you on the air with us.
My friend, you have honored me and blessed me by having me on your program. I have followed you for so many years. You have a colleague, a friend, and a fan. Thank you so much for what you do for the kingdom.
Oh, I'm honored. Thank you, sir. God bless. Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, boy, I am thrilled. I'm thrilled that we got to hear from him with that passion, with that wisdom. And another day, we can interact further on that. You can share your thoughts on what he had to say. So if you're in the New York City area, join me for, it should be a wonderful conference. Starts Thursday night, all day Friday. Friday night, Saturday night, Israel, the land, the future. I give my presentation on Friday night. You have to register for the conference, though, so go to my website, askdrbrown.org. When you click on About, you'll just see the itinerary, and that'll link you to register for the conference on the Chosen People website. And tomorrow, our very special day with Jonathan Sarfati. He is a young earth creationist. He is a scientist. Your questions on evolution, your questions on old earth creationism versus young earth creationism. If you're an atheist listening, I'm so glad that you do listen. Or if you're a Christian conflicted with evolution, great day to call. And right now, I encourage you, order the book, Refuting Evolution, over 500,000 copies in print. It's great for high school students up through advanced science. Yeah, I mean, it's got the information in it clearly laid out for adults and young people alike. And it is a response to the National Academy of Sciences teaching about evolution and the nature of science. You can get the book, plus with that, the 2 CDs of tomorrow's 2-hour interview, which should be lively and full of challenges to Dr. Sarfati. $20, postage paid. Our joy to send this out to you. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, or visit my website, askdrbrown.org. You can order directly from there. My bottom line today, when it comes to the subject of immigration, yes, we must join justice together with mercy to have a biblical response. You know, someone once said the whole problem with deception is that it's very deceiving. How can we do our best to avoid deception?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, it's true. Someone just sent me a note. The government is shut down, but not Dr. Brown. Here we are. But we're not focusing on the government shutdown now. We're not focusing on Obamacare. We're not focusing on budget battles between Republicans and Democrats. And we just had a great one-hour conversation about illegal immigration, immigrants, amnesty, immigration reform. What's the Christian position on that? But we're not getting into that now. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. We're talking about something that is totally relevant, always relevant. It was relevant in ancient Israel. It was relevant in the days of the New Testament church. It is relevant today. It will be relevant right up until Jesus returns. We're talking about deception. How to avoid deception. 866-348-7884. In particular, if you have a question about this, if you've heard some teaching and you're trying to navigate through, is it right or wrong? In particular, if you've got a friend or family member that seems to have been picked off by some cult or false religion, I'd love to hear from you. 866-348-7884. That being said, I've got a lot of material I want to cover with you as we talk this issue through of how to avoid deception. As I said at the outset of the broadcast, the problem with deception is that it's very deceiving. I often joke about this, but think about it for a minute. Every group thinks it has the truth, and other groups don't really have the truth, or they don't have the truth the way we have the truth. I mean, if you look broadly at Christianity as a whole, Protestants assure that it was right to protest against Catholic doctrine. Catholics assure they are the mother church. Greek Orthodox assure they have the original Jewish roots back to the apostles. When you look within, say, evangelicalism, what do the Baptists preach? One of the slogans of Baptists is, "We preach the whole counsel of God." I've had Baptists tell me that. We preach the whole counsel of God. The implication being, if you are not Baptist, you don't preach the whole counsel of God. Then, if you're Pentecostal, charismatic, what's the old way of saying that? Full gospel. You go to a full gospel church? No, we go to it's like a partial gospel church. Gospel light. We tithe 8% in our church. Then, if you go to Word of Faith church, And often that can incorporate some extremes in the teaching as well, carnal prosperity or things like that, or some wrong views on atonement. You go to a Word of Faith church, it's called a Word church. Brother, you go to a Word church? No. In our church, the pastor preaches from the phone book. It's not a Word church. I mean, you see how we say these things. If you're part of a home fellowship, I go to a New Testament church. You go to a New Testament church? No, we're just pure human tradition. We don't even use the New Testament. I mean, each group has this little arrogant slogan. We all do it. And the problem is, if you're fringe Jesus only, then what is it? We preach the apostolic doctrine. You have the apostolic doctrine? No, we make it up as we go on. I'm giving sarcastic answers to these questions, but have you ever seen a group advertise itself as the first church of the deceived? We are the congregation of the misled. We are the first church of the deceived. No. Does anybody ever knock on your door and say, "I'm here to con you"? We see that's how it is with deception. How can we avoid deception? As I was finishing writing Can You Be Gay and Christian late last night, by God's grace, finished the manuscript on time. As I was doing that, I thought, wow, deception is very powerful.
name, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If somebody tells you that you have been deceived, don't let them change you.
How do we avoid deception? Michael Brown, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. That's right, Dwight. We are not just broadcasting on different networks across America and for all those throughout North Carolina and some other states on the Truth Radio Network. We are the true truth. That's right. Not just the truth, but the true truth. Come on. Everybody thinks they've got it. They've got the right viewpoint, the accurate interpretation of Scripture. You know, someone once said to me, "You really believe what you preach is true?" Well, why else would I preach it? Why else would I preach it? Why else would I teach it? Do I think I have the exclusive corner on all issues? No. Are there hills I'll die on? You better believe it. How do we avoid deception? 866-348-7884. Leonard Ravenhill said, if the whole church goes off into deception, that will in no way excuse us for not following Christ. William Booth said, look, don't be deceived by appearances. Men and things are not what they seem. All who are not on the rock are in the sea. And then Watchman Nee said this, and here's where I want to start. If the Lord's people will humble themselves by admitting that deception is quite possible to them, they will be the less deceived. Yes. So that's where I want to start. And I'm going to make a bunch of points. If you only catch a few minutes of the broadcast, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Later today, click on Latest Audio and you listen to the whole broadcast. The first point is to recognize the fact that the possibility of deception exists. Jesus warned his disciples, take heed that no one deceives you. Paul warns in his letters, don't be deceived. Jacob, James says, don't deceive yourselves. So I want to recognize that the possibility of being deceived exists for me, for you, for any of us. Any of us could be deceived. And one of the biggest issues in terms of getting us in the wrong place is pride. We all know that, don't we? That God resists the proud, that pride leads to destruction and failure. And if I think, well, nothing can happen to me, I could never be deceived, I'm too spiritual, I pray too much, I've read the Bible too much, I'm too anointed, I'm too humble, whatever it is, if I walk in spiritual pride, I become more of a candidate for deception. So the first thing we want to do is recognize that the possibility of deception exists. And then secondly, recognize that you can be deceived by following demons as well as by rejecting the Spirit. Recognize that you can be deceived by following demons as well as by rejecting the Spirit. Some people seem to feel that all they have to do is avoid demonic deception and don't believe doctrines of demons, they'll be fine. Well, we also need to believe the Word. We are not just rejecting error. We are embracing truth. And so the third point is to make the Word of God your final authority. Base your theology on the Word, not experience. Oh, I've had many wonderful experiences in the Lord. I was just meeting with a group of students that are part of the worship team at Fire Church and Fire School of Ministry. They wanted to talk to me about bad experiences I had overseas or in America with worship, with musicians, with things going on in the services, or then good experiences. And I was able to tell them about times just so overcome by God's presence, all I could do was weep before Him and just say, Lord, with everything in me, I just want to please You. I've had experiences so overcome with the burden, it really is like fire burning inside of me, and I've got to tell the whole world. And I've here, even being on the radio, this is part of a burden, something God laid in my heart many years ago. Even some of the very stations that I'm on and networks I'm on, God laid in my heart years ago that he wanted me to do this. I couldn't shake these things, and I journaled them when there was no way my schedule would permit it, or finances were permitted, or doors were even open. So I absolutely embrace experiences in the Lord. But I don't base my theology on experience. I base my theology on the Word. And I may have experiences that confirm the Word, but even if I don't, I base my theology on the Word, regardless of what I feel or don't feel. The Word of God, Hebrews 4:12, tells us is living and active, piercing to the very division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We have a video that you've got to see. Trust me. Trust me on this. I've never misled you. Trust me on this. 6 minutes long. And it's free. You don't have to buy anything. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and click on the YouTube icon. And that'll take you to our video channel. And you've just got to see our latest video. It's from Duke University, the Gay Pride event there this past weekend in Durham, North Carolina. And you just got to see what these people have to say. Some of them quoting scripture, many of them saying they're Christian. And it comes down to ultimately, you got to follow your heart. You got to follow your heart. Well, the heart is deceitful, Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful among all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you follow your heart, you end up in deception. The book of Judges, every man did what is right in his own eyes. If we bow down to the authority of the Lord and the authority of his word, and we humble ourselves, that is very, very critically important if we are to avoid deception. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to the phones in one moment, but remember, no one is knowingly, willingly deceived. Clip number 8, Joey, this is a scary one to listen to. This is a scary speech to listen to, so be forewarned. This first clip is just 19 seconds, but it is Jim Jones, who was called Father Jones, and this is right before mass suicide. Hundreds of people killed themselves, literally drank the poisoned Kool-Aid. This is the power of deception.
The world, the kingdom, suffers violence, and the violence shall take it by force. If we can't live in peace, then let us die in peace.
We're all ready to go. If you tell us we have to give our lives now, we're ready. I'm pretty sure all the rest of the brothers are with me.
Oh, that's sad. It's one thing if you're preaching the gospel in a Muslim country and you get killed for it. It's another thing when you follow a false prophet, a false teacher, who takes you away from God, away from Jesus, away from Scripture, and then tells you to kill yourself. But people did it. They were deceived. Anyone can be deceived. So we humble ourselves. We reject error and we embrace truth, and we base our lives on the Word of God as our final authority. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. You, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, first of all, I totally agree with everything you just said, and I think it's very important. It's the Word of God, it's the Bible, it's, you have to know the Word of God, you have to know the Bible, and you have to understand, that when God saves, he designed it that way, that you're not saved and then you know everything that there is to know in the Bible and about God and about truth. He wants it to be a process, and it happens over the course of the rest of your life that you're here, and you have to accept that sometimes, either when you don't understand things or when, you feel that you've locked in on something that God might show you that it's different, and you can't accept somebody, another man, another person saying their interpretation and take that as truth. It has to be, it's not a feeling, it's not an experience, it's truth is truth, and it comes from the Word of God, and only from the Word of God. and it's dangerous when you go outside of that. You know, I listened on Sunday. You had a program. I don't know if it was being aired on Sunday or it was just played on Sunday, but I was listening on the air, and it was about the Pope and his statements, and whether his statements are, whether he's compromising, and when whether he possibly has an ultimate goal or a plan by gathering people into the church, getting them close to Christ, and then the truth will be revealed. And in John 10 and other places, Christ is very clear that, you know, a thief comes to steal and kill and destroy.
Yeah, and you just got to jump in. So that would have been a broadcast that was being repeated on American Family Radio that aired live on this very station that you're listening to now. But yes, the Pope, you, me, all of us, we've got to be evaluated by the Word. We'll be back. Much more to come.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, Joey, let's listen to clip number 7 in a moment. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire broadcast. We're talking about deception. We're talking about how to avoid deception. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Have you ever dealt with someone who's in a cult of some kind? And when you talk to them, you knew them in the past, used to be able to interact, you could have conversations about a wide range of subjects, but now when you try to interact, it's almost like their eyes are glazed over. Or even if they look the same physically, it's clear they're not really listening. You ever seen that? You think, well, what happened to you? We've had thousands of students pass through our school of ministry over the years, and so many are doing amazing things for the Lord that humble us to hear about how the Lord is using them all around the world, in the nations, here in America. So many are solid Bible believers that are committed to raising their families in godly ways and preaching the truth of Scripture and are living ethical, godly lives. And then you have folks that sadly, tragically, go off the deep end somehow, that mess up in some way. And I remember meeting with some of them. They had driven some hours to meet with our leaders. And just when they came in to meet with us, I went to give them hugs, and they looked different. They had not joined some other group. They had just gone off the deep end with their own beliefs. They looked different. The level of heart-to-heart connection. It's almost like you're appealing to a person that's not fully there. That's the power of deception. Obviously, they don't see it about themselves. They don't see it the same way about themselves. And if they did, they'd recognize something was wrong. You know, it's one thing you wake up and your body's really hurting and you realize that something is wrong, or you're exhausted, you realize something's wrong, or you just can't think clearly. It's another thing when you don't realize you've been deceived, and someone who's been deceived doesn't realize they've been deceived. This is from the Heaven's Gate cult initiation tape, and it is Marshall Applewhite, also known as Bo and Doe, among other names. Listen to this.
Your only chance to evacuate is to leave with us. Planet Earth about to be recycled. Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us.
1997, and they had a mass suicide, not hundreds and hundreds the way Jim Jones' suicide ended, but a good number of people took their lives. How does this happen? How do people who might have been normal people, yeah, I know you'll get some quote weirdo that gets picked off, or someone that was never really stable that gets picked off, or somebody that always tended to completely break all the rules and do crazy things, and they get picked off. But you often have people that are not the candidates you'd expect. How do you avoid deception? One, recognize the fact that the possibility of deception exists. Deuteronomy 13, God warns the children of Israel about false prophets. Deuteronomy 18 warns them about false prophets. Passages like Ezekiel 13 and Jeremiah 23 and other passages warn against false prophets. Paul, often in his teaching, warns against false teachers. One, recognize the fact that the possibility of deception exists. Two, recognize that you can be deceived by following demons as well as by rejecting the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit keeps speaking to you and speaking to you through His Word and you reject, that can be as dangerous. You're hardening your heart to God. That can be as dangerous as opening your heart to the enemy. Number three, make the Word of God your final authority. Base your theology on the Word, not experience. Number four, major on the majors. Major on the majors. Major on the majors, both in doctrine and in life. Oh, that's big. Last night, my daughter Megan and I were walking down a hallway at a building. We were helping a family member move in. Nancy was in the room with them, and I was carrying some stuff. And Meg said to me, "Dad, you came very close to knocking into that table there, thing I was carrying." Well, I was totally unaware of that. I thought I was pretty far from it, but she was behind me, and I was carrying something pretty wide. So what did I do? Well, I tried to walk right in the middle of the hallway. If I walk right in the middle of the hallway, it's going to be impossible for me to hit either side. This may seem dumb to you, but in our house, we park outside of the house. The garage is filled with some stuff, so Nancy and I park our vehicles in the driveway. And I'm to the far left, and sometimes just backing up, I don't always see as, you know, perfectly clearly. And I would cut a certain way, cut around her vehicle, and then cut to come out the driveway. And then it was real easy for me to go a little too far, and then I'm real close to the mailbox, or far the other way, I'm going to be slightly on the grass. And one day we were getting in her car, driving out, she said, "You drove on the grass again." I said, "Yeah, because she saw us pulling out." But I realized that there's a line in the middle of the driveway, and once I make my move, I just center my vehicle on the line, and I come straight down the middle of the driveway, and I don't hit either side. Yeah, you can call me about a wide range of subjects. Some of them are pretty esoteric, and yet there's a decent amount of knowledge and information I've acquired by God's grace over the years. But I tell you, I major on majors. I major on basic meat and potato themes. I don't get caught up in a lot of speculation about side issues. And with my life, I try to major on the majors. You know the saying, keep it simple. Someone young is going to get up and preach. What do they tell them? KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Just a friendly word of advice to some family member that's going to be speaking. Hey, major on the majors, both in doctrine and life. And number five, stay humble, submitted, and open to correction. Stay humble, submitted, and open to correction. The way our ministry bylaws are set up and our ministry organization's bylaws are set up, there are people who have the power to remove me. I don't have the power to fire everybody and veto everybody. We have mutual accountability. And the day that I'm not open to correction and someone speaks into my life in a constructive way and I reject it, that's the day I'm in trouble. Stay humble, submit it, open to correction. See, none of us have to be deceived. Friends, tomorrow we're going to have an amazing time talking about a controversial issue. Young Earth creationism. Does the Bible clearly speak of a six-day creation? If so, how does that line up with science? My guest, Dr. Jonathan Sarfati, PhD in chemistry, and his book, Refuting Evolution, has over 500,000 copies in print. It's a book you really want to get. High school right up to the most serious adult student. Refuting Evolution, the book, plus the CDs of 2 hours of interviews tomorrow, $20, postage paid. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've been deceived.
Yeah, deception. The problem with deception, as it's been said, is that it's very deceiving. Yet Paul says it. Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 6, Galatians 5, don't let anyone deceive you. 2 Corinthians 11, I'm concerned. I'm concerned that you'll be deceived. How do we avoid deception? Welcome to the line of fire. Hey, I am a believer enough in God's wisdom and sovereignty. I am a believer enough in the great audience that we have and the amount of people we can speak to that I am speaking to people today who are in the midst of deception, who are not who you used to be. The light is starting to go on and you realize that you have rejected family, friends, mainline clear interpretation of scripture to follow some false teaching, and or maybe you're right on the verge of stepping into it and you recognize, okay, something is wrong here. I want to help you. You don't have to be deceived. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Going through some principles as to how to avoid deception. Speaking of deception, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend. So this will be the second weekend of October. I am going to be ministering, scheduled to minister in Raleigh, our great listening audience in Raleigh. Some of you have been listening to me regularly for over 5 years now. Raleigh, that's right, coming your way if you're within an hour or two of Raleigh. It'll be Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. And I'll be focusing on the topics of hyper-grace and true holiness. So you don't want to miss this. Put it on your calendar. For details, go to askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. And just click on, under About, click on Itinerary, and you'll find out about next weekend. So not this coming weekend, but the second weekend of October. How do we avoid deception? One, recognize the fact that the possibility of deception exists. Two, recognize that you can be deceived by following demons as well as by rejecting the Spirit. So in other words, by hardening your heart against the Lord as much as by opening your heart to sinful lying forces. Three, make the Word of God your final authority. Base your theology on the Word, not experience. Four, major on the majors, both in doctrine and in life. Five, stay humble, submitted, and open to correction. Six, keep sin out of your life. Be holy. Keep sin out of your life. Be holy. Let me make clear. None of us will be perfectly sin-free in this world, which is why we confess our sins, we receive cleansing from sin, and we are walking in ongoing fellowship with God because that is the pattern of our lives. But you begin to justify a little sin. What does Paul write in 1 Corinthians 5? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You open the door to a little impurity. I actually recorded a video commercial for the Hyper Grace book, taking a cold glass of ice water. Refreshing. Oh, great. Invigorating. Just what I needed. And then I had this eyedropper with food coloring, and just it was black. And one drop, another, next thing, and then mix this thing up. It's just tiny, a few tiny little drops. Next thing, the whole thing looked terrible. I mean, you wouldn't want to touch it. Well, that's what happens with sin. We allow sin in our lives. We justify spiritual wrong practice, and that thing pollutes us. It pollutes our thinking. It affects our ability to reason. That's why so many people, once they open the door to sin, do all kinds of crazy, stupid things. We'll be back. You've got a call about a deceiving movement. Glad to talk to you today.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
One quality that has always set us apart is that we are unselfish. Yes, we have an utter monopoly on workable solutions, but we share those solutions with anyone who reaches for them.
Ah, David Miscavige speaking at the Freedom Medal of Valor Award Ceremony, where Tom Cruise was awarded the medal. Scientology. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about deception, how to avoid deception. I want to play one more clip. It's painful, it's dramatic, it's jarring, all right? This is Jim Jones' last speech before he and his followers drank Kool-Aid. Once what was really happening with his group was found out, and hundreds killed themselves tragically, absolutely tragically. And his speech is recorded, but it's dramatic. I just warn you.
All they're doing is taking a drink to take to go to sleep. That's what death is, sleep. Whatever, I'm tired of it all. Big dude, don't fail to follow my advice. You'll be sorry. You'll be sorry. That we do it and that they do it. Us trust you, you have to step across. We used to sing this world's not our home. Well, it sure isn't. We were saying, it sure wasn't.
Yeah, and people screaming in the background. What a tragedy. If you want to avoid deception, keys we've been talking about, make the word of God your final authority. Major on the majors. Look, it's impossible that you're going to be right on every last point. I'm going to be right on every last point. But you better believe I'm going to stake my life on being right on the majors and holding to the major central points of the faith. That means I got to stay humble. You've got to stay humble, submitted, open to correction. Are you submitted to anyone? I remember as a new believer, and I understand that some folks have had difficulty finding a church. There's some communities where there are very few fellowships that are preaching the word at all. And I understand that can happen, but our attitude should always want to be one of being connected. But we were new believers. We were at a prayer meeting. This lady came to the prayer meeting. She impressed us. She seemed so super, super spiritual. And she was talking to a few of us, and I was wondering, I didn't really know who she was. And the pastor of the church just came up to her, and he just said, "Who's your pastor?" And she said, "Oh, I don't have a pastor. Jesus called me out of the organized church." And he just knew the one little question to ask her, because now she was this traveling authority that was going to come show up at a meeting somewhere and pull away the young people. Well, listen, when we are not submitted, when we are not humble, when we're not teachable, and we're not correctable, we open the door to deception. When we play games with sin, we pollute ourselves and we affect our moral judgment. Don't be a loner. Be part of the body. When God spoke to me years ago about homosexual activist issues and spoke to me, turn back the tide of homosexual activism, I knew a few things. One, I knew in the natural, the battle was already lost, that the effects on our society were such and so pervasive through media and down through young people and business and government, that in the natural, the battle was lost for this generation. It would take a miracle to turn the tide. So that much I knew. And even though I felt a sacred responsibility as if it was all on my shoulders, I fully understood that I was a small player on a really big team, that I was one little player on a big team. And this recognition of how we need each other. Oh, I'd give my blood in terms of everything in me and everything I have to fulfill the calling of God on my life. And being on the air with you 5 days a week is of critical life importance to me. It's sacred to me. We do whatever we can to make this happen because of the sacred calling. But God forbid, I think for a minute, I am the man. I am the voice. God forbid. God forbid anyone on any of these networks thinks that way, or the pastor of your congregation thinks that way, or any Christian author. Oh, I have a voice. Yes, I'm a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. Yeah, I'm on the front lines of Jewish evangelism. There are things God called me to do, and if I wasn't here, there'd be a gap. But you better believe if 10,000 other people weren't here doing 10,000 other things, there'd be 10,000 other gaps. We need each other, and we need to be part of a fellowship where we are joined together with others. So don't be a loner. Another point, then we're going to go to the phones. Recognize that feelings and personal experience are not infallible guides. Recognize that feelings and personal experiences are not infallible guides. Oh, the man who is going through a hard time with his marriage and his wife after the last child has been real sick. The kids are keeping him up through the night. He's not doing well on his job because he's overtired. His wife is barely keep her head above the water, taking care of the kids and the house. And last thing on her mind is affection with her husband. And gal at work, boy, she seems to really light this man's life up. And she laughs at his jokes and makes him feel good about himself and is so interested in what he has to say and wants to know more about his faith. And he just begins to feel the Lord telling him, hey, that's not the woman you're supposed to be married to. Why do you think things are so bad? This is the woman for you. She makes you come alive. Surely that's the Lord. You're going to tell me that his heart could not easily deceive him? You're going to tell me that his feelings could not easily deceive him? I once heard a story from a friend of the man that it happened to. He was a professor at a Christian college. He was ministering somewhere. And a couple came up to him for prayer. Now, I'm charismatic. I'm Pentecostal. I speak in tongues. So this is not disparaging tongues. It's disparaging false experiences. And charismatics can be as prone to them as anybody, if not more so, because we believe in experience. Well, when I say believe in it, we believe that God gives us genuine experiences in his spirit today for his glory and for the good of the body and the good of a dying world. This couple comes to this man for prayer. And they said, we'd like you to pray that God will bless our relationship. So he goes to pray for them, but feels funny. And he says, are you married? And they said, yeah, we're married. Smiled, yeah. So he goes to pray, and then he feels funny again and asks a question you'd never think of asking. And he says, are you married to each other? And they said, oh, no, we're each married to other people. But we're in the process of getting divorced, and we know the Lord is in our relationship because before we have sex, we pray in tongues together, and we really feel the Lord. Yeah, outrageous, but that is the power of deception. And therefore, you don't rely on personal discernment alone. Well, I just discern this movement's wrong. Have you actually been to a meeting? Have you actually read what the people have to say? Have you actually listened to their messages? Or is it just, no, something doesn't feel right? Well, how do I know that in and of itself, or no, I feel the go-ahead. Have you compared it to Scripture? Have you evaluated what the... No, I just feel good about it. Well, that can be deceiving, a pathway to deception. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Philip in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you for having my call. I really appreciate you and your ministry.
Well, thank you.
When I thought of these questions, there's no one else I thought of asking but you. I think you could probably answer these better than anybody. I have a cousin that I care for a lot. He was raised in a church, charismatic church. He knows the scriptures very well, and he did some evangelism, did some work, and decided that he was going to go to school for ministry. And I just called him out of the blue about a year ago, or I don't know, 7 months ago, I should say, and asked him how things were going. And the school that he really wanted to go to and really looked up to, he said it was heretical. Mm. And I asked him a little bit more about why it was heretical. And he basically came to understand that he's getting involved in what they call this Hebrews Roots movement.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that I agree with, that they agree with. You know, the Jesus is the Messiah. A lot of good things, but there's some things that he's mentioned to me that I kind of get lost on, and I don't really know how to respond to him because I know he's very well learned in a lot of things. But one thing that he's mentioned several times is that that they're part of the lost 10 tribes returning back to Israel.
Yeah.
And the other thing that he mentions a lot is, well, he just puts a lot of emphasis on the Torah, the keeping of the Sabbath.
Right. The, and Philip, tell you what, we've got a break coming up. Stay right there. And Dwight, get Philip's address. I want to send him a book of mine as well, 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices. I'll respond to that. We come back, where the truth is, where the error is. And a book that covers a lot of these questions, 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices, readily available on our website or in bookstores.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we've been talking about issues relating to deception today, how to avoid deception. And look, I'm going to tell you boldly that certain things are deceived movements. Now, of course, they'll call me deceived. I'll gladly sit down and have it out based on Scripture anytime. But obviously where deception comes in, friends, it's going to be significantly mixed with error. When deception comes in, something erroneous is going to come in. So in other words, there may be eight things that they hold to that are standard and true, but they're going to be one or two or five or ten, or however many, that are blatantly false, that are erroneous, that are lies. And the Hebrew Roots movement has some serious mixture in it. Now, this is different then if you have a Messianic Jewish congregation in your city and they preach Jesus Yeshua as the only Savior for Jew and Gentile, and they say, hey, as Jews, we are joined covenantally to our people. God never changed the Sabbath to Sunday. We enjoy worshiping on the Sabbath. It's a witness to our Jewish people. We enjoy keeping the biblical calendar. We don't make it mandatory for others. This is not part of us becoming righteous in God's sight. We're righteous by faith. That's one thing. Hebrew Roots movement, you have some of that Messianic congregations, but it's fringe, it's extreme. And it rightly recognizes where the church has lost its Jewish roots, where the church has separated itself from Israel, where the church has embraced a replacement theology that says that the church has now taken over God's plan of salvation for Israel, and Israel is no longer included as a nation. Yes, everyone's saved through faith in Jesus alone. But in point of fact, there is significant error that's happened in church history, a lot of it anti-Semitic. People recognize that, but then they go to the other extreme. They exalt Torah more than they exalt Jesus, Yeshua. They make mandatory the law, whereas the New Testament makes it clear that it's not mandatory, in particular for Gentile believers. And instead of finding their identity in Jesus, they find their identity in being Jewish, even if they're not Jewish, and hence we're part of the 10 lost tribes or the nonsense like that. Yes, it's deception. How's it happen? You get off the center. You get off the center, which is exalting Jesus Yeshua, and you end up on peripheral issues. 866-34-TRUTH. Quick review. How to avoid deception. One, recognize the possibility of deception exists. Two, recognize you can be deceived by following demons as well as by rejecting the Spirit. Three, make the Word of God your final authority. Four, major on the majors, both in doctrine and in life. Five, stay humble, submitted, open to correction. Six, keep sin out of your life, be holy. Seven, don't be a loner, be part of the body as a whole and a body of believers in particular. Eight, recognize that feelings and personal experience are not infallible guides. Nine, don't rely on personal discernment alone. 10, never primarily seek an experience. Seek the Lord and His gifts. When I say seek the Lord and His gifts, I mean seek God and everything He has for you to minister to His people, but don't primarily seek an experience. I want to feel this. I want to feel this. I want to see this. Number 11, never look for revelation beyond the Word of God. Well, I know the Bible tells us a lot, but I want to know other spiritual truth outside of Scripture and revelation that's not in the Bible. Oh, it's one thing, Lord, guide me. Should I take this job or not? Lord, we're praying about relocation. What's your will? Lord, I feel you're calling me to leave my job and go teach in this foreign nation, Lord, just give me wisdom and guidance. That's one thing. Those are decisions we're making. It's another thing to look for scriptural revelation outside of Scripture. Learn how God moved in the past. It's number 12 on my list. Observe how he's moving around the world today. That gives us guidelines as to, not in an absolute way, but a rough idea of what to expect or not to expect. Learn from other mature leaders. Elders do have an important role. Always use the fruit test. Okay, let's see the fruit that this produces in your life. Let's see what this produces in your life. Cast yourself on God to deliver you from deception. Lord, I'm just a sheep. You're the shepherd. Lord, I could easily get off track if not for you, your grace, your help. So I throw myself on you. And take heed to the warnings of the word. Deception comes in many forms. And Jacob, James, plainly says that if we are doers of the word and not hearers only, we will avoid deception. If we are doers of the word and not hearers only, we will avoid deception. A week from this Friday, so that is Friday, October 11th, 7 to 9 p.m., Saturday, October 12th, 10 to noon, then 6 to 7:30 p.m., and then Sunday, 9 in the morning, 11 in the morning, Victory Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's going to be Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. And I'm trying to see if there's going to be a way for me to also have a special listeners meeting where sometime during the day Saturday I can also get with my friends there in Raleigh or supporters or listeners outside of a meeting setting. I'm not sure if we can do that yet, but make sure you put that on your calendar a week from this weekend, all right? And finished writing last night, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Now I have to fill in all the end notes, but finished writing that. I'm so thrilled with the grace that was on me to do that. This is dealing with a massive area of deception as we're talking about how to avoid deception today. Hyper grace, exposing the dangers of the modern grace movement, one of the themes I'll focus on, God willing, weekend after this coming one in Raleigh. That book due out January 7th, and it is deep in the Word, and I trust it's going to deliver many from deception and help many others come back on the path. Friends, I don't claim to have the answer on everything, but there are things that are plain and clear as the nose on my face. If you've met me face to face, I've got a good-sized nose. They're that clear, they're that plain. And often when Nancy and I will talk about some new doctrinal thing that's out there, she'll say to me, but what do they do with the Bible? Meaning it's just so overwhelmingly clear what Scripture says on the subject. How could anyone possibly argue with it? All right, friends. Tomorrow, don't miss the broadcast with Jonathan Sarfati. He has a PhD in chemistry. He is a strident young earth creationist. And we'll be having 2 hours. So beginning 2 o'clock Eastern Standard, 2 to 4, 2 hours with Jonathan. Your calls, your toughest questions. Get his book, Refuting Evolution, over 500,000 copies in print. Whether you've got a high schooler with questions or a university student or you're a pastor leader with questions, Refuting Evolution, get the book. And our 2 hours from tomorrow's interview, which should be very lively. I'm expecting all kinds of questions. $20 postage paid, so it's a great deal, and you will be greatly blessed. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to our website, askdrbrown.org, and you can order right there on our homepage, our special resource offer. My bottom line today, if you want to avoid falling in the ditch of deception, which is on either side of the road, stay in the middle, focused on Jesus, living holy, grounded in the Word.